Gator Football Sunday, WEEI, Boston Sports Original. I'm Christian Arcan. Chris Scheim here as well. Mega was here, but she left. It was probably something I said. She had to get down there for the game. And who's down there right now? Well, our good friend Andy Hart of WEEI Afternoons with yours truly, 2 to 6. Host 2, as he's also known, to my host 1. Andy Hart, how you doing, sir?
Good, what do you say? Good afternoon? Is it 12:01? I guess it's good afternoon.
Yes, it is. Certainly literally an afternoon. You can say that as of about 59 seconds ago. Yes,
okay,
so good afternoon to you, too. How's it going down there? Are you down at Gillette?
I am not, actually.
Oh, you're not. Okay, well, then never mind. Same thing happened with Curran. I said, hey, how's it going down there? He's like, I don't know. I'm not down there. The only
There's
one down
Buzz.
There
I can tell you I'm getting texts. I'm getting from both Fitzy and from fans.
Fitzy sending videos.
Yep. There is absolutely the buzz that I think there should be and may need to be today. Arcand, host one, you know, I believe this home crowd should feel like they enter this game with the potential to contribute to victory. I don't know how many times you're going to be able to say that this year. The weather is beautiful. You're coming off a win. Like every Gerard Mayo, the first game at home, I saw his family on the side. Everything about this day says fun day. Try to enjoy it. Try to impact the game if you're there.
All right. Well, let's start right there then, because as we were talking about this very thing, and last year this was a team that was 1-7 at home and had some of their worst games, maybe the worst games in the history of the franchise they had at home last year. Not even kidding. Like that was it was brutal, and it felt like maybe it turned a lot of fans off. We saw a lot less people at camp this year, certainly early on. Do the Patriots even play, or will they be playing the style of football that could get a big crowd excited? You know, like that's really what it's about for me. A bunch of field position, 1-3 and outs, running the ball. Like it just seems like maybe they're not built for that.
So Scheim, let's force your host there, host one on the Sunday show, to awaken 180, flip that,
nice,
and look at it a different way. No. That's the damn crowd that's lived at Gillette for 20 years. I'm sick of that damn crowd. Anybody can get excited when you throw an 80-yard touchdown. That's not a good crowd. A good crowd is one that's invested and capable of impacting a game early on, of being a positive force. Even if Ramondre Stevenson doesn't go 50 yards on the first run of the game, they're going to run the ball. They're going to play defense. They're going to keep scoring down. So if you're one of those spoiled fans that lived 2007 and need to be up 38-3 at halftime to have fun, well, guess what? You're not a great fan. You're not a versatile fan, right? You don't believe in the more you can do. We need fans. I don't know why I'm like playing the role of Fitzy here, like I'm the organizational promotions guy or propaganda peddler. But no, I really believe that.
Scolding the fans?
Well, I've always kind of thought the fans were overrated at Gillette, if we're just going to be honest. Like, again, anybody, it's like leaders. You know these leaders on teams that are, 12-2?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really a great leader? How hard is it to lead when you're winning every week? Like, leading from in front is very easy. When it hits the fan, that's when it takes, you know, true leadership qualities. I'd say the same thing about a fan base. You have a football team. What's his name? The running backs coach this week was talking about they wanted to prove a point by running the ball on opening day, right? Like they could have done some other things, but they wanted to prove a point. That's who they are. They want to prove that point more weeks than not.
Every season.
And, right.
Every week.
Every week. And maybe that opens things up down the road. Like we can get into Javon Baker. I think he's a big play guy. Maybe that opens some things for him or Tyquan Thornton. But every week they're going to try to establish the run. And yeah, they might go 3-and-out. I don't know. If so, you're going to boo? Is that what kind of fan you are? Boo, 3-0. You're 1-0. I never thought you'd win a game. You're 1-0, but I'm going to... Like, don't be that guy.
No.
Be the one.
Okay, but Andy, there's a difference between booing and not going crazy but with a field possession game. I mean, you're saying that the fans are going to maybe play a role in this game. I just don't know if they're going to be doing that if there's not much
so they're
to
not
cheer
good
for.
Fans. That's fine. If just right. call them not good fans. Because I know when you go to Kansas City or Seattle, if Seattle goes 3-and-out, those fans are still loud when the other team takes possession at its 25-yard line, and they're trying to impact the game. And that is how you can be a good fan. That's how you can help your team have a home field advantage. So if you're only going to make noise when the Patriots are driving on offense and when, I don't know, Christian Gonzalez is picking off a pass on defense, then you're not a fanatic. A fan is short for fanatic. You're not a fanatic if that's what you are. You're an observer. You're a cheerer, but you're not a fanatic. And I think they need true fans who are fanatics.
Well, Andy, you wanted Arcand to have an Awaken 180 flip that take. How about you, Awaken 180, flip your take, Mr. 0-17? Where do you stand on this week? Are you as convinced that this is as winnable a game as you're going to get as we have been this morning?
Absolutely, because I think most people had this circled as winnable. You know, even if you thought the Bengals were going to wipe the field with them in week one, You had a few handful of games that were winnable. The home opener, the energy that would bring, the fact that Seattle is not a great football team and has a lot of the similar issues you have in terms of transitioning here. And then you add in, as our buddy Tom Curran emphasized during the week, traveling across the country, the schedule change, you know, being out of sorts with your body clock and all that. And then Kenneth Walker not being healthy. This game becomes more winnable, I feel like, by the minute. Even the energy, seeing Jerod Mayo on the sideline, the energy that a guy like Javon Baker could bring. That can be pro and con. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know exactly where he's going, but that could be positive energy. And I don't think we believe this game's going to take 30 points to win. I think a lot of people probably think if you get to 21, you probably got a chance to win this football game. And if you get a big play from Baker or a big play from Gonzalez or a momentum energy play. So, yeah, the guy who said 0-17 was in play, that guy also believes 2-15 is still in play, but you could get that 2 today. Imagine if they started 2-0 and then lost 15 straight.
That would be impressive. That would be impressive. I'd be kind of amazed if that happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, in order to get to 21 points, what's sort of the path for that? Do they try and open up the passing game early for Jacoby Brissett? I mean, they've been talking all week about how you got to stop the run. Let's say Seattle's out there in the 4-6 every down. Like, do you eventually have to, or even early on, do you give Brissett a chance to throw?
Yeah, I am an advocate for some play. Part of this offense is play action shots, right? And I'm an advocate for that probably early. I think you still run the ball early, very early on. Although Josh McDaniels was always a big believer that you don't actually have to be running the ball well to get play action to work. It can work without running it well. But I think in this case, who they are, what they've said, I think they want to do it, the mentality of getting their line moving forward, and B, actually getting those guys to be like, oh, they're going to try to do it again. They're going to give Stevenson the ball 20 times again. We got to be sucked up. And then Tyquan Thornton, Javon Baker, even Hunter Henry down the seam. You know, I don't think it necessarily has to be a go route on the outside to hit a chunk play. Could be even a boot with an over on your tight end, something like that. They're going to probably need some of those, but I also think they're probably going to start out trying to establish the run because Arcan, I've said it a million times. I don't even think it's close that the best player on this offense is Ramondre Stevenson, and he's coming off the best game of his career, in my opinion. I think getting away from that would be overthinking it. Keep it simple, stupid, and give him the ball.
On the defensive side of the football, Andy, we've talked all morning about Christian Gonzalez and Keon White being big names in this game. Is there a guy on the defense who you expect that maybe we overlooked a little bit that could create some buzz in this game?
I think the Jabril Peppers, to me, is a buzz guy at all times. And the fact that apparently he's healthy, the whole weird situation within the last 8, 9, 10 days with him, couldn't walk, had to find a pool at a different hotel, the treatments, get on the field, then removed from the injury report this week. But, you know, you have a big physical receiver in DK Metcalf. And, you know, if those two guys took their shirts off, they probably look similar, except for the fact that DK is whatever, 6 inches taller than Jabril Peppers. You know what I mean? Like, one's a tall dude, one's a short dude, but they are both attitudes of muscle that play football. And I would like to see Jabril Peppers set an impact in this game, preferably in the chest plate of DK Metcalf. You know, you think of like, oh, we're going to cover him. Yeah, how about we beat the snot out of him? How about we use Jabril Peppers to play old school safety and bring some physicality to that? So I think he is more than capable of impacting a game in that way, and also in the run game. I think those safeties, we know they've invested in them. We know they're two of the better, you know, the better position group, I guess, on the team. I think certainly Jabril Peppers can be an impact player in the middle of that defense, and then you marry that up with a little Keon White pressure, a little coverage on the outside, and you might have yourself a nice little snowballing game plan.
Andy, Chuks Okorafor yesterday was placed on the exempt left squad list. He's reconsidering if he still wants to play football. He had a really ugly exit out of Pittsburgh, an ugly first week where he got benched in the first quarter, basically. And now it seems like he may be right out of the profession altogether. That means we're going to see a lot of Adarian Lowe, obviously, today. But what does that mean going forward for that position and the O-line in general?
It's terrible because that's a guy they targeted to be a key part of this offensive line in this bridge year. You know, if you remember, Elliot Wolf said that's our left tackle at draft day. That's a guy we think can play left tackle, blah, blah, blah. Like, they were invested in Chuks Okorafor more than they should have been. It's why I told you the one guy who still needs to prove he knows what he's talking about is Elliot Wolf in my mind. Jerod Mayo's really buffed up his sort of leadership legacy in a short period of time here. I think Wolf needs to do that because that was one of his marquee, quote-unquote, guys that he brought in. It also, if you recall, if you're listeners to the Six Rings podcast, this is why I would have cut Chuks Okorafor. I thought he should have been the surprise cut candidate coming out of camp. He wasn't very good. I didn't see the need. If you're not going to be able to play left, you're not very good at right either. I don't really want you around. I'd rather go young and just develop some of these young guys, and it's kind of worked out that way. I also find it funny, as he's not sure if he wants to keep playing, I think there might be 31 other teams who aren't sure they want him to keep playing. I mean, how many opportunities would a guy like that get? He stunk on opening day. He stunk in the preseason, and as you said, he fell out of favor in Pittsburgh. I know there's a dearth of talent at that position, but he has a dearth of talent at that position, so I'm not sure what kind of future he has. But it's not ideal for the Patriots because, you know, Anderson, like, you didn't have a lot of depth or talent to start with, and you've already chipped away at that. I think they're going to have to continue to work the waiver wire, hope these guys that they brought in at the waiver period here after cuts can develop. But that position is, when you are crossing your fingers that Vidarian Lowe can play and stay healthy,
sucks.
You've reached a certain point, and it's not a high point, it's the other one.
Well, Andy, is there any chance that, like, especially if they win today and they're 2-0 and they feel good about themselves, is there any way over the next couple weeks you see them attempt to acquire a tackle from somewhere, even if it's not necessarily a team starting tackle? Because, you know, as teams progress in the season here, they kind of realize what they are, and maybe there's already some teams that are willing to sell a piece that they have, a depth piece or something like that. Is that an option for them? Do you even think they'd take that?
Oh, I think they have to consider it. Now, I don't think it's a high-end option.
It's not like you're trading for Trent Williams here.
Right, Trent Williams or Jonah Williams or, like, even a guy like that. I think you're trading for somebody's swing tackle or somebody's second swing tackle that they're for. And that guy may or may not work out. They've done that in recent years with Tyrone Wheatley. I think Lowe was one of those that they got from Minnesota, maybe. So they've had a few of those guys. And yes, I think they will need to continue to look down that road because chances are there's going to be injuries. Chances are on when Lowe is already banged up. And chances are if you're going to run the ball this often, you know, guys are going to get banged up because that's the reality. If they're going to run the ball 35 times a game, those guys are firing out and banging heads 35 times a game. They're going to get worn down, banged up. And if you lose on Wenu or Lowe, you're really scratching it. So I don't know who the name is. I'm not, you know, familiar necessarily with 31 depth charts and their third or fourth tackle. And would he be better than what they have on the roster? But hopefully Elliot Wolf and Matt Groh are. And I do think there's a very real possibility you may need to try to dip into that market.
All right, Mr. Hart, before we let you go here, we started the interview asking you about the crowd. If Jacoby Brissett gets off to a slow start or, you know, even worse, maybe a bad start, are we going to start hearing a chance for Drake May today?
My guess would be yes. My guess, if he gets slow, no. Bad, yes. If he gets off to a bad start and it's a turnover, a forced play in the red zone, like we saw, you know, against the Eagles. If he does something like that where he's costing you points, costing you momentum, then I absolutely think the crowd will get antsy because there's a fresh baby-faced, you know, star in the waiting.
Handsome young man.
Right? And even little circumstantial stuff like Arch Manning yesterday having great success. He looked great. So that idea that the backup or the guy who's waiting for whatever reason is better is emboldened sort of in general. When somebody like Arch Manning comes off the bench and lights it up, everybody else who has a backup quarterback they might like, I feel like, yeah, see? Did you see what happened at Texas? Why can't we do that?
Especially here in New England when the greatest story of all time is Tom Brady, the backup, coming in and winning you a Super Bowl and being the greatest of all time.
Absolutely. So, and that's a cliche, right? Backup quarterback's the most popular guy in town.
Always.
Whether they're really all that good or not. And the reality is Jacoby Brissett is who he is. He's a journeyman for a reason. He's got limited upside. And yes, if he struggles and he costs you not only points, but as I say, Arcan, it's entertainment. Mm-hmm. If he's hurting your entertainment dollar, if Javon Baker gets behind the defense and Brissett underthrows him or just flat out misses him, people, whether it's fair or not, will think, oh, Drake May would have made that throw, and those sort of rumblings will grow.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Andy Hart, look forward to hearing from you after the game in the Six Rings post-game show, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow at 2 o'clock with yours truly here on WEEI Afternoons. Thanks so much.
Look forward to it. See you, boys.
All right.
Thanks, Andy. See you.
Andy Hart, who is working all day long today, and we will hear him after the game on the Six Rings podcast, or Six Rings post-game show, I should say, with Nick Fitzy Stevens, who we already talked to earlier on in the day. All right, we're cutting out a little early here today as the Red Sox and the New York Yankees will get underway with the Mass Mutual pregame show. That's at 12:35. In the meantime, when we come back, we'll have Pop, Drop, and Lock, our locks for the week, who we want to drop and who we think is going to pop, in case that wasn't made clear by the name of the segment. But first, here's Chris Schein to tell you what's trending. That's how it ended a week ago. Patriots looking to have a similar outcome today. Seattle Seahawks are in town without their starting running back, without their starting right tackle. Patriots without City So, and no other real surprises there in terms of the inactives. Patriots and the Seahawks kick off in about 35 minutes from Foxborough. Any final thoughts before we get to Pop, Lock, and Drop?
No, I'm excited for the Patriots today. I think they can win. I think they should win. I'm hoping that it'll be a little bit cleaner than even we expect. I think that they kind of run away with this. Not like score-wise, but they are in total control here.
Okay. I'd love for that to be the case, but I feel like I'd be a total fraud if I completely went back on my predictions for the season.
Yeah,
we said,
I totally get it.
If they go 2-0, is that going to change your expectations? It will. And I'm not quite willing to let go of my preseason prediction yet. So I think Seattle doesn't blow doors, but I think they win by at least 3.5.
Okay.
We'll get into that and more with our picks in a little bit. But right now, it is time for Pop, Lock, and Drop. All right, Shime, remind the people, what is Pop, Lock, and Drop?
So here's what Pop, Lock, and Drop is. Basically, we're looking for a player or a team you think is going to pop, surprise you a bit this week. Then your lock of the week. It can be a bet. It can be a prop. It can be a game. It can be anything you want that you think is just an absolute lock. And then a team or a game or a player you want nothing to do with this week. You're just dropping them.
All right, very good. What do we want to start with? A pop? Who's going to pop?
Yeah, I'm going to start with who's going to pop. For me, I think it's going to be Najee Harris of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Interesting.
I think the Steelers go into Denver and kick ass this week. I think last week you kind of saw what they wanted to do on offense. It's going to be very run heavy. I think that Broncos defense is gettable in the run game. And so I think Pittsburgh's going to come in, run the football strong with Justin Fields and Najee Harris. And Najee Harris is going to have a pop week.
I think Justin Herbert is going to have a pop week this
Love
week.
That.
It's the Carolina Panthers, so he better. I mean, come on. It's not exactly a tough team here, but he didn't do much. It was all J.K. Dobbins, really, in that week one win that they had over Vegas. I felt like Herbert was kind of understated. I think he goes out there and really unleashes the dragon in Carolina this week and shows what he can do, because listen, they did take away a lot of his weapons. Keenan Allen's gone. Mike Williams is gone. The running back's gone. His name escapes me at the moment. Austin Eckler gone.
Yep.
Like that's a lot of guys to lose from your offense, and I think this is the type of game where he gets his groove back a little bit against the weak
defense. Yeah, luckily last week though, I gave you the J.K. Dobbins pop. He sure
did.
He had over 100 yards rushing. He was awesome in that game. I think you're going to see more out of their first round pick from last year out of TCU, and whose name is Johnston, and then Ladd McConkey, I think, will continue to grow. So I love that pick for you.
Very good. All right. Who is, I got one other one. Can I do a bonus pop?
Yeah, let me hear it.
Bonus pop, Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers and the Jets have a big week against Tennessee this week. These are both road teams, but Tennessee really struggled in that first week, and I think the Jets, after getting frustrated by a dominant 49ers team, are going to look to get some of that frustration out. I think Rodgers has a big game.
I would coincide that with also I think Garrett Wilson's going to have a big game this week. You saw Rodgers started the game by only throwing the ball to Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. I think you're going to see that continue this week. It is the funnel it to the Italians offense from kicking and screaming with Will Ferrell.
Very good. All right. Who are we dropping? Who are we locking?
Yeah, this is my favorite bet of the week. I picked the Colts in the survivor pool, so I don't want to double dip here.
Okay.
Instead, I'm going to go into that game and give you a prop. Give me the under 167.5 passing yards for Malik Willis. Malik Willis is a starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. They acquired him from the Tennessee Titans. He was so bad when he started a quarterback for the Titans. He's never thrown for over 100 yards in a game, and his number is at 167. I don't care if he has Matt LaFleur, who I think is a really good head coach. They're not going to let him throw the football. I'm going under all bleeping day.
All right. That's a good one. I like that bet a lot. I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs -6.5 with the Bengals. I know the Chiefs got some bad news about Hollywood Brown this week. He didn't play in week one and is not someone I think is going to make a big difference. They already have a small, fast guy there in their rookie, whose name now escapes me.
Xavier Worthy.
Thank you very much, out of Texas, who had a big, big week one. Cincinnati, I still think, is in a bit of disarray. You still haven't done anything there with Ja'Marr Chase. That seems to be getting worse and worse as the season goes on. He may not be fully engaged, and this game's at Arrowhead, and I just think that, you know, the Bengals, they're a slow-starting team anyway. I know that they often play the Chiefs tough, but I don't think that's going to happen today. I think that Kansas City takes that one by at least 6.5.
Can I give you an honorable mention in the lock category as well? For me, especially with the news that Evan Engram is now out, I love Brian Thomas, 50-plus receiving yards in this game. That's at even money. The Browns are very gettable in the pass game. You saw CeeDee Lamb have a pretty good week last week. Jacksonville at home looked actually really good against Miami. They just had bad turnovers. ETN fumbles out of the end zone, but I really like what I saw from Brian Thomas in week one, and I think he takes another step forward here in week two.
Yeah, Brian Thomas, another guy who was drafted sort of at the end of the round, sort of like Jalen Polk, you know, behind the big stud in college,
yep,
and ended up getting drafted in that first round, sort of with a chip on his shoulder, something to prove, as if, you know, it wasn't all just Roma Dunze, it wasn't all just Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
I was part of this too. Yeah, I could see that being a big one.
Would you like a fun Brian Thomas fact?
Sure.
So Xavier Worthy set the record for the fastest 40-yard dash time at nearly 40 pounds heavier. Brian Thomas had a 10-yard split that was 0.01 seconds slower than Xavier Worthy.
Wow.
So in a off the line of scrimmage, Brian Thomas is extremely explosive.
Yeah, sounds like it. By the way, the Jaguars are my pick in the survival pool this week.
Love that.
I'm pretty much going with whoever's playing Carolina or Cleveland and hoping I can ride that until...
I think betting against Deshaun Watson, Bryce Young is just such an awesome, awesome idea at this point in the season.
Yeah, it really is. All right, with that in mind... who are we dropping?
So,
or what
I'm
are we dropping
it because I don't know what to expect from this game, but I think it's going to be a really good football game. That's the Buccaneers and the Lions here in the 1 o'clock window. Mm. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be similar to last year's playoff game, but I just don't. Is Baker really, like, actually really, really good? Like, everybody thought last year it was Dave Canales. He goes to Carolina. That doesn't look so good, but Baker throws for 4 touchdowns in week one. Maybe it was just Baker Mayfield. There's a reason he was the first overall pick a few years back. So I need to see more out of the Bucs, and I love the Lions, but again, I need to see another week of it before I can get in on that game, especially with a 7.5-point spread.
Yeah, I'm with you, and one of the drops for me is the team that the Bucs played last week, and that is the Washington Commanders, who were taking on the Giants,
yeah.
And it's like the opposite. Basically what you said, but opposite reason.
Yep.
It's too, you're not sure what to make of two high-flying big offenses. I'm not sure what to make of Danny Dimes against a rookie quarterback over there, and it just seems like that's why the Giants usually play well against Washington. They usually beat them.
Yes.
But they seem like not the normal Giants this year, and maybe Washington's building something. I don't know
and
yet.
And Daniels looked decent, especially running the football. He looked really good in week one. So.
Yeah, but they also said, we don't want him running that much. So,
true.
You know, the coach came out and was like, Quinn was like, I don't know about this. He can't run this much all year. He's going to get the crap kicked out of him, which I agree with, by the way.
100%.
I don't think that you can keep doing that. So I'm going to drop that one. I also don't love Pittsburgh-Denver.
Really?
I don't love the idea of betting on either Bo Nix or Justin Fields. Like,
TJ
I think that
Watt was so good in week one. I had forgotten just how good he was. I think he will destroy that Denver team again this week.
We'll see. And there's also the little matter of the Rams and the Arizona Cardinals. The Rams now underdogs in this one against the Cardinals.
That has been bouncing back and forth like crazy.
It's been all over the place because the Rams are without Puka. He's out for a while. And also they're missing their two starting tackles and I think their swing tackle. So this could be a tough one there. I sort of feel like they tried to do this last week with Dallas and Cleveland.
Yep.
And I stuck with Dallas, so I think I might stick with the Rams here, but I also may just not want to touch it.
My guy Nick Costos, that's a WTF game. Wrong team favored.
Yeah, probably. All right, there you go. That is all the time we have here on Football Sunday, WEEI. Stick around. The Mass Mutual pregame show with Joe Weil is coming your way next as the Red Sox look to try and stay alive here against the New York Yankees. The Patriots and the Seahawks kick off at 1 o'clock. We'll talk to you tomorrow. You at 6 a.m., me
yes,
at
sir.
2 p.m. right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.